Good morning. I'm glad to see you. How are you guys doing? Everybody doing good? You ready for winter? Too bad. It's coming. It's coming. It's here. It's close. You think I'm safe to take the AC units out of my windows now? Maybe? I don't know. A couple more weeks just to be safe. You never know. You get that weird, like, it's 65 on what's coming up? Halloween. That crazy, you know, October Wisconsin weather is crazy. Well, listen, I'm glad you're here, not just this morning and not just today, but here at this church in this season of ministry, season of life, in time. I'm just glad you're a part of us, and I'm excited about the season that we're in. If you were here with us last week, you know this. If you weren't, let me reiterate, but we heard from Pastor Jeff and Carrie as they announced the Beyond Initiative and that we're starting an awesome two-year journey as a church. Yes. Jeff is excited, and so are a few others. Just needed some prompting. No, we are pumped for what God has for us. And when we say as a church, we're talking, hopefully by now you know if you've been coming around here anytime, when we say as a church, that's you, right? Yeah, right? Because you're the church. When we say the church, we're talking about you. And as you hear that, you hear me, specifically, individually me. We're talking about going on this journey. But let me give you this just a quick recap of what we talked about, and we're going to continue to unpack this thing over the coming weeks. But we announced that the Beyond Initiative is starting, and it's a two-year journey that we're going on as a church, and it's a journey to push beyond ourselves, hence the name Beyond. The whole point of this thing is to dive into the idea of going beyond ourselves, and we're highlighting it in two ways, of going beyond ourselves and our going, which I know is kind of a funny phrasing, funny word to think about. What does that mean, to go beyond myself in my going? Well, when Jesus was talking to his apostles, it's kind of one of his last times and meeting with them before he left the earth, he talked to them about in their going to make disciples. You may have heard, go and make disciples wherever you go. He was saying that as you go about your life, as you carry on, as you go into your workplace, as you go into your neighborhood, into your families, as you go, make disciples. And he was giving kind of an overarching blueprint for people that are going to follow Christ. If you're a Christ follower, he wants you to follow him and then bring others along behind you. Live the way that I'm showing you how to live, and then show somebody else how to live that way, the Christ-like way, to follow Jesus. So make disciples in your going. And so we're calling each other, the leadership is calling you, we're calling ourselves to go beyond ourselves in our going in this coming 2 years, which means that wherever you are in that making disciples spectrum, if you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about all the way over here, or you're like, this is my life, I do this every day, I go outside my comfort zone and love other people and disciple them. Wherever you are on the spectrum, we're asking and we're calling you during this two-year journey to go beyond yourself, go past that point, a little deeper, a little further, one more notch down, a little closer into the making disciples in your going. And if you remember last week, we kind of delved into the going part, and we looked at things that God had done in our life. You remember, we recognized that God has done amazing things. In each of our lives, we were able to write down stuff that we know, God has been this to me, God has done this in my life, and things that were amazing. We celebrated those, but we recognized God's not done with just having done something amazing, that he wants to do more. He's not content to just take what's been done and celebrate and sit on that, but that he wants to go another level and go beyond. And so we, at the end of service last week, we took some time to ask God, who are you calling me to go beyond myself for? Who's in my life, in my spheres of influence, that you're saying, yeah, this is the season I want you to go beyond yourself for this person. For the sake of them, step outside your comfort zone. Go a little deeper. And then we responded and wrote down on cards and brought them to the altar in the space and committed that during this journey, during beyond, I'm going to go beyond myself for them. And those of us that were in this room and in first service last week, we wrote down 624 names of people that are in our lives. Yeah, that's awesome. 624 people that are in our lives that we're willing to go beyond, we're committing to go beyond ourselves for. And then on Wednesday night this past week, the Uncommon Youth Group, the junior high and senior high students in our church, did the same thing, and they had the same message, and they responded, and they thought about, God, who are you calling me to go beyond myself for? And they wrote down over 150 names of people in their lives that they're going to go beyond for. Yeah, isn't that awesome? And then our kids down on the other kids' wing, they had the same message, and they're talking about what friends and what people are in my life that I can go beyond myself for. We have over 750 names, specific names of people that we're saying we're going to go beyond ourselves for them. That's awesome. That's awesome. And then the second ask, that's going beyond ourselves in our going. The second press is that we want to go beyond ourselves in our giving. And that we're going to, in the same kind of a spectrum, if you're like, nope, my stuff is mine, I don't give it away, I earned it, I worked hard for it over here, or you're like, no, everything I have is a blessing from God and it's all His anyways and it can go wherever and you're over here. Wherever you are on the spectrum, we're asking and we're calling you during this journey over the next 2 years to go beyond that. Push a little further, go a little deeper into this realm of generosity. Move yourself and push a little harder to give a little more, to be a little more generous, to open up your hands a little more with the stuff that God has blessed you with. And so actually in a couple weeks, in 2 weeks, we're going to get specific in that giving side of things. We're going to give you the opportunity to make a commitment, just like we did with people that we're going to go beyond ourselves in our going, to make a commitment to, I'm going to go beyond myself in my giving to this extent. And kind of set the road there for where you're going to go in this journey. Same thing with our kids down in the kids' wing in the Uncommon group in here. Our kids down there have white coffee bean bags. You'll see them carrying them around. They're going to be over the whole course of this series collecting money and being generous with stuff that they have in their hands, whether it's allowance or money that they've earned from birthdays, whatever. They're challenging themselves to go beyond themselves in their generosity and learning to be generous in that. And they'll be bringing those bags on the last week, or sorry, on 3 weeks from today. Am I right on my dates? Yeah, 3 weeks from today. And we'll be bringing those offerings, our first fruits, and the kids will come in with their bags and give. So God is doing this through our Uncommon students, through the kids in that wing, through the adults here on Sunday morning. We're going beyond ourselves. We're going to go over the next 2 years beyond ourselves in our going and beyond ourselves in our giving. And we're excited about it. Are you excited? You guys ready for this? Yeah. So last week, God's done great things, but He's not done. This week, we're talking about my life is not my own. We're going to dive into this kind of core idea behind this whole thing of beyond, that my life is not my own. That as a Christ follower, my life's not my own anymore. I have to give up control. And Jesus talked about this in some of His last hours that He was here on the earth and talking to His disciples. And He talked a little bit about giving up control and a little bit about this life not being our own. And it's in John chapter 12. If you have a Bible with you, you can flip to it. Or it'll be up on the screen here behind me. But in John chapter 12, Jesus is talking to His disciples and said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." So if we are in Christ, our lives are not our own. Jesus taught the example, and Jesus lived the example. He said here, just like the example of a kernel of wheat, or a seed, there's just one, but when it goes in the ground and it dies, it becomes more, it becomes greater, becomes more impactful. And then He kind of explained that metaphor and said, anyone that loves their life will lose it, but anyone that hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. He's saying anybody that tries to control and tries to maintain the control themselves of their own life is going to end up losing it. But those that live with open hands, that give control to God, will have so much more. That in that death to yourself, in that death of your own grip on control, comes awesome life. And He not only taught it, but He showed us by laying down His own life. And think about what was on the other side of Jesus' obedience. I mean, think about the consequences to His obedience. Because He obeyed, because He showed this example of laying down one's life, what came from that? And then think about potentially what could come from your obedience. What's on the other side of your obedience of saying, yes, I give up control to you, God. I trust you with it all. I'm not saying you're going to be the savior of humanity for all time, but there's amazing things in that place where you're able to get to the point of going, yes, okay, I give up control. I'm letting myself die. My own selfish desires can die so that greater things can come when you live through me. And Peter was a disciple of Jesus. Peter's the guy that you may have heard Jesus said to him that your name is Peter, which means rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. This is the guy, Peter. And Peter kind of learned this lesson about what's life going to be like to follow Jesus. What does it mean to give up my own control and to follow him? And we're going to look at two instances that he has interactions with Jesus before Jesus was crucified and after he was resurrected. He has two interactions with Peter. And we're going to look at them and learn about how our lives are not our own. So flip to Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is having a meal and talking with his disciples. And then he turns to Peter and he says this to him in verse 31. And then Jesus told him, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it's written, I'll strike the shepherd, the sheep of the flock will be scattered, but after I've risen, I'll go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied to Jesus, "Even if I fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same thing. Peter hears Jesus saying that you're going to fall away from me, you're going to deny me. And Peter's response is like, "No way, nuh-uh, I will follow you anywhere, Jesus. I'm all yours. I'll even die for you. I'm all in." And he's like jacked, like, "No way." And I liken it to like some of us, we get in, you know, maybe you go in on a really powerful retreat or an awesome Sunday morning service and you're in worship and it's like the band's rocking and like you're like, "I'm feeling the Spirit." Like, "Yes, God, anything you want, I'm all yours. I'll even die for you. I'll go anywhere." And then Monday morning, about 3 hours into your work shift, you're sort of like, "Oh, I don't know if that's even real. I don't, whatever. I don't feel it anymore. Like, I'm not talking to that person. I'm not doing that thing. Whatever." Peter was there. Peter had like the high of like, "No, this is awesome. We're going to, the kingdom of God's invading earth, and I'll do anything for you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you." And then within a few hours, was denying that he even knew Jesus. Within a few hours, he was like, people are like, "Hey, don't you know that guy who's getting arrested over there?" He's like, "I don't even know that. Nope, not me. You got me mistaken for somebody else. It's not me." And what I want to highlight today is that Jesus knew there'd be a journey in Peter. There'd be a journey for him to get to the place where he was truly following him. There'd be some failures along the way. And some of you may have even already experienced some of these kind of failures, whether it's been in the past or maybe even this week, with somebody you wrote down in your card of like, "I'll go beyond myself for so-and-so, this coworker, or this neighbor." And then this week, you ran into them and they, you know, "Oh, this thing's going on in my life." And you're like, "Ooh, this is an opportunity to talk about God, or maybe I can offer to pray for him." And then you're like, "Well, I think I got to switch the laundry over. Good talking to you." And you quick get out of there because you're like, get nervous. You didn't know what to say or whatever. And then, you know, later you look back and you're like, "Oh, I did it again. I missed the opportunity. I failed. God can't use me. I never follow through." Peter was there. He did the same thing. "God, I'll die for you. I'll do anything, whatever you want." "I don't even know him. I swear, I've never met him before in my life." But the cool thing in this, in the lesson, is that as far as God's love for you, his plan for you, the things that he wants to do through you, your failures don't change a thing. His grace swells to overcome every misstep. Every time we fall, every time we stumble, every time we miss an opportunity, we screw it up, his grace swells and comes to bring us, to teach us, to draw us closer, to pull us back to himself. Don't let failures, missteps, mistakes on your own part push you away from God. He's right there in that moment to go, "No, it's all right. You're good. You're good. Come on. Come with me. Let's learn from it. Let's grow. Let's get stronger. Let's get better. Let's go deeper. Let's go beyond." And keep moving forward. Your failures don't change a thing with the plan of God for your life and the way he wants to use you. Through everything, whether success or failure, God is wanting to draw us closer to himself to make us more like him. He wants us to come deeper into that true worship, into that place of closeness and that depth. And oftentimes that looks a lot more like loving our neighbor than meeting together and for a service. And he's doing that, drawing us closer to him, even in the midst of our failures. So let's look at this interaction that Jesus has after Peter has denied even knowing him. And Peter sees that Jesus is now risen. The disciples were out fishing one night, and they see the resurrected Jesus, and they end up, you know, getting together. It says they saw him from afar, and they came in from their fishing boats, and they ended up getting together on the beach, and they made a fire and had some food, and they ate. They're like, "Hey, what's going on, Jesus? Haven't seen you in a few days. What's new? What have you been doing?" I don't know what they talked about over their food. I imagine it was an interesting conversation. But they finish eating in John chapter 21, and in verse 18, it says that when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John," let me just explain the name thing here. This guy's name is Simon Peter, son of John. So we call him Peter. Jesus here is calling him Simon Peter or Simon, son of John. Same guy. So this is Peter, the same dude we're talking about before. He said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." So Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus told Peter that he would be essentially a pastor, that he would pastor people, that he would be a fisher of men, that he would lead this movement called the Church of Disciples. And after Peter's failure, after his denial of Jesus, what's that done to the call of God on his life? It hasn't changed at all. The call from Jesus to Peter is still, "Feed my sheep." His failures has not changed the call of God on his life at all. Jesus is using the opportunity to actually call him closer, to remind him of what he's called to do, to remind him of his purpose, and to continue to push him deeper and push him further into it. To go, "No, you still got it. You love me. Feed my sheep. You can do this." He uses that failure as a growth opportunity. And I think that's awesome. And actually in verse 18, Jesus goes a little deeper and starts teaching him, what is this going to be like? If you're going to follow me, what's it like to follow me? What's it look like for somebody to follow me truly? And Jesus says in verse 18, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." So the call to Jesus is, "Follow me. Follow me." And he says, "When you were young," and he's referring to like spiritual maturity. When you were young, you made your own decisions. Like you got to do what you wanted. You could dress how you wanted and go where you wanted. As you grow up, as you mature, someone else is going to lead you where you need to go. And sometimes it's going to be someplace that you don't want to go, but follow me. Jesus is going, "This may not look the way you thought it was going to look, or it may not be going where you want to go, but follow me." The call is still, "Follow me," and our job is to respond with a yes. "All right, I'll follow you. That's not how I was going to dress. That's not where I was going to go. That's not the thing I was going to do, but I'll follow you." The call is the same to you and me as it was to Peter. Follow me. And to follow means to give up control. That's where the rubber meets the road, especially when it's like the calling sort of lines up with some of your giftings and the things you like, or you're like, you know, whatever, however that plays out for you. But a lot of times you're like, "Okay, I'm doing this, cool." And then where it's like, "Nope, now you got to go somewhere that you don't want to go." Or now you have to give up control on that thing that you're gripping. You need to let go of it and let me move it somewhere else. To follow means we have to give up control. Jesus gives us insight of what it's like to follow, that someone else will lead you. And I love Peter's reaction because it feels really real. It feels like something I would do, or a lot of us would do. In verse 20, it says that Peter turns. So Jesus just tells him, "Hey, when you get older, when you're mature now, it's time for you to grow up, and someone's going to lead you where you don't want to go, and you need to follow." And Peter turns, and he saw John, the disciple that Jesus loved, was following them. So Peter, when he saw him, he turned around and went, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." But I mean, this is like classic us, right? Hey, you're going to need to follow me. You need to do the things that you may not want to do. Just follow me and trust me. And we're like, all right, well, what about him? Does he have to do it too? I'm not doing it unless he has to do it too. I mean, I have kids in here. Anybody else have kids? Well, what about them? They've got 3 chores on their list and I have 4. How come I have 4? Well, he only has 3. The call from Jesus to you, the same call it was from him to Peter, is follow me. It doesn't matter what they're doing, where they're going, where I'm leading them, how it plays out for them. You follow me. Just follow me. Give up control. Follow me. Keep your eyes on me, and I'll take you where you need to go. That's why through this whole Beyond Initiative, there's not like a set formula of what you need to do as somebody as a part of this church. It's like last week we didn't go, well, there's this many people in the Rapids area and we have this many people in our church, so that equals 87.6 people that you need to reach. So we're going to write down those names and each person needs to do that and then we'll get where we need to go. No, it's not. The call is you follow Jesus. He's calling you to make disciples. You talk to him about it. What does that mean for you? Where is he calling you to go? What is he calling you to do in the places that he's put you? And you answer it with a yes. Like, yes, I'll go there. I'll do it. That's the call. Follow me. It's not, I can't tell you, Pastor Jeff, Carrie, none of us on staff, we can't tell you what you need to do other than follow him. Follow him. Yeah, that's good. Listen, there's a deeper level of freedom on the other side of your I would never. We all have these things in our lives. Some are stronger than others, and some of them we know about it more than others. Some are kind of subtle even to ourselves. But there's things that we have that are like, oh, I would never do that. I would never quit this job. I love this job. This is the best job I ever had. I would never sell this house. We raised our kids here, whatever. I've worked too hard for this retirement package. I would never give that up. And every time we've got an I would never in us, there's something blocking that follow me from Jesus. There's control that we've got that thing. I would never do that. I would never do. And that's like us, God. Well, God, you can have these pieces, but this part, I've got this part worked out. I'm good. But there's a bigger freedom on the other side of our I would never that we can't even imagine what God can do on the other side of that. When we begin to just let go of the I would never and go, if you said so, God, I would do it. I'm not saying you will do it. I'm not saying you are going to sell the house or you are going to quit the job. But when you get to the place where you go, I will if you ask me to, there's awesome freedom in that and awesome results of what God can do through you in that place. And maybe sometimes that I would never isn't like an arrogant I would never like that, like where you're controlling stuff, but it's a I could never because you don't have enough faith in what God can do through you. That sometimes it can be like I could never write that book. I didn't even go to school. I don't have a degree. Or, oh, I could never speak up at work. I'm not a really good public speaker. Or, I could never invite that neighbor over to my house. I can't really cook that good. My house is messy. And you have this like timid, God could never do that through me. Or God could never. The same thing. You got to get over that. If he's calling you there, if he's leading you in it, then he's going to provide in it the same way. He's going to lead you somewhere that you might not want to go, and your answer to follow me just needs to be, all right, let's do it. Yes, let's go. We have to get past our I would nevers to be ready to answer Jesus when he asks and when he says, follow me. And some of us, the struggle in that wrestling with control, there's kind of 2 different ways that we kind of control things. We have sort of a day-to-day control where, you know, we get into our rhythms of, what am I going to wear today? What am I eating? How am I going to spend my lunch break? What am I doing with these few hours of free time I have in the evening? And there's just kind of a day-to-day, like, these are the things that I do and the things I like, and this is what I enjoy. And there's control in that that we need to invite Jesus into, invite God into our day-to-day. Again, this isn't like a he's telling you, no, you can't do any of those things. I don't know, maybe he will, but maybe he won't. Maybe it's all going to stay the same. But the difference is the attitude in the heart of going, okay, God, if this needs to change, you let me know. You tell me and I'll do it. Or we have these big picture plans. We got bigger ideas of like, oh, what's my 5-year plan? Or where am I going to college? What's my retirement look like? Or what's this job career path look like? These big picture life goals that sometimes we can leave God out of and we have control over and we map things out and we need to invite him into those situations as well. We're going, God, where are you leading me big picture? I'm inviting you in. I hear the follow me call in the big picture things in my 5-year, my 10-year plan, my retirement plans, in my college, my career path plans. I hear you saying follow me and I'm answering yes, I'll follow you. What do you want me to do? How are you going to lead me now today and this week and this month for what you want to do in me 5 years from now? Because whatever you say, I'll follow. It doesn't mean throw away all your plans. It doesn't mean don't be detailed, don't be organized. As much as I like just kind of winging it. I'm not saying you have to just wing it. I'm saying let God come into the planning, into the organization of it, into the thought process of it. Let there be prayer. Let there be acknowledgement of like, hey, God, this seems like what would be best for me. This seems like what I worked out that's going to work. Am I right? Is there something in here you want to change? Is this you or are you taking me a different direction? Just bringing him in to that picture. So I want us to take a moment this morning, and through the Beyond Initiative, we're really kind of, during this 5-week series that we have where we're unpacking it, we're having a little bit more response time and reflection time, and that's just it. I'm not apologizing for it, but we're doing that. So be ready. If you aren't already, we're 2 weeks in now, but be ready for just some reflection. But I just want us to take a moment this morning to ask ourselves, what are those I would nevers or I could nevers that we have in our lives? What are those pieces of our lives or areas of our lives that we still kind of just have a grip on? Even if we've got a portion of life that is totally surrendered to God, what do we have? Things? Do we have people? Do we have stuff? Do we have parts of our life that are still sectioned off? And we're going to put some music on, and I want us to just ask, you know, maybe God's bringing things to mind as I'm talking. That's awesome. If not, I would just challenge you to pray a quick prayer. God, highlight in my life, what are the things that I'm still trying to control? What are the things that I still have and I would never around? And then I want to challenge you to write that down. It's not something we're going to turn in today. You're not going to bring it up to the altar, but you can use the program that you had on the back. There's space if you brought a Bible or a journal with you. Just writing it down as sort of an acknowledgement of like, okay, God, I hear you. I see you. I see that area and that thing. I'm gonna work at releasing that to you, to let go of the control that I have on that area, that thing, that person, that stuff, whatever it is. So we're going to take like 2 minutes here. Just pray that prayer to God. Spend some time thinking about that, reflecting, and then write that thing down. And then Carrie's going to come up in just a moment and share something and kind of close us out.
My senior year spring break, I went to Colorado with some friends. And to save money, we flew into Albuquerque. Now, I love Colorado. I love the mountains. I love the snow. I love all the trees and the rivers. It's just gorgeous. When I flew into Albuquerque, New Mexico, this is my first time in New Mexico. And the entire 3-hour drive to the border of Colorado where we were gonna be, I complained about how much I hated New Mexico. I thought it was the ugliest state I had ever seen in my entire life. We're driving and I'm looking out the window going, this desert is so ugly. I hated the landscape, it made me thirsty. I hated the architecture. I hated the adobe houses with the stucco walls, with the clay roofs. I hated everything about it. And very obnoxiously and very frequently the entire drive, I said, I would never live here. I would never live here, ever. 2 years later, I followed God's call to go live on a reservation. And I knew in my heart that I was going to live on an Indian reservation someday to give my life to Native discipleship. And that just so happened to be the Navajo reservation in the very state that I said I would never live in. See, I had this fire in my belly that I knew I was supposed to go. I knew God was calling, and I knew I was supposed to go. And oddly, no one tried to talk me out of it. I don't think they could have if they tried, because I knew that's where God was calling me to go to. I was 20 years old, a single white female, going to across the country to a place that I would never go, to go away from my family, away from my friends, away from my culture. And I didn't even know anyone that worked at the church or was a part of the church that I was going to work at. And I just knew I had to go. And I was supposed to be there for a year just to help start a Native discipleship program for young adults. 1 year turned into 7, and we started our family there. We brought 3 babies home there. We poured our lives into Native discipleship and watched a movement take place. And these people became our greatest friends and our closest family. And we watched these young adults grow up to be teachers and firefighters and chefs and musicians and athletes, and more importantly, disciples who made disciples. And I still believe they're world changers. And, you know, when we exchange our never for your will be done, we are disengaging from our selfish desires and our limited perspective, and we are engaging in a movement beyond. I'm going to say that one more time. When we exchange our never for your will be done, we are disengaging from our selfish desires and our limited perspective, and we are engaging in a kingdom movement beyond. Now, most of our yeses, we won't see the fruit of it on this side of eternity. But sometimes, occasionally, God will give us a little glimpse. And fast forward 10 years after we were out of New Mexico, which, side note, I learned to appreciate my surroundings and really did love it. But a couple years ago, I went to Rockford, Illinois for a youth conference. And a young man named Bryce walked up to me and he said, he's about somewhere in his early 20s, and he said, "Hey, you don't know me. My name's Bryce, and I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your obedience going to New Mexico. I'm on the other side of your obedience." You know, what? And he proceeded to tell me the story that a young man named Thad, who was discipled in our ministry, ended up moving to Rockford and found Bryce. And Bryce said, "I was in a really dark place. And Thad found me, he loved me, he discipled me to Jesus, and I'm alive because you said yes." Of course I was a wreck. But God showed me that to go, you don't know what I'm doing. What I'm doing is beyond what you can fathom, what you can see. I'm doing something here. You just have to say yes. Keep saying yes, Carrie, because it's a ripple effect. You don't know what your yes, just not just the immediate, what's on the other side of the obedience, but the ripple effect that that's going to create that most of the time we won't see. But every now and then you get a little glimpse to show you keep saying yes. We're going to respond here in a moment if Bonnie and Eric can come up to lead us in worship. And if everyone actually would stand, we're going to put ourselves in a posture in these next few moments to respond to the Lord. All of this, letting go of control, surrendering to the Lord, it is all about trust. That's it. The Lord's saying, "Do you trust me?" And so we're going to put ourselves in a physical posture, whether that means you need to raise your hand and let go of that grip and go, whatever that is that is I would never, letting go and saying, "God, your will be done." And maybe he'll call you to it and maybe he won't, but you're letting go, going, God, your will be done. I surrender. I surrender my control over this, and I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes. And so let's put the posture of our heart oriented to the will of God this morning, oriented to his kingdom purposes beyond us. Jesus, we thank you so much that you choose us. What a privilege. God, we thank you that you choose us despite our insecurities, despite our fears, despite the times that we mess up. God, we thank you that you are a sovereign God who sees well beyond what we can see. God, I pray that in these moments, as you're revealing to us the things that we're holding on to, the ways that we're grabbing control, God, I pray that you would show us those things, highlight those things, and give us each the courage to surrender it to you, to lay it before your feet, to recognize that you're in control and we are not, to surrender our lives to kingdom movements beyond what we can see, what we can fathom, what we know. God, we surrender to you and we are trusting you. Lord, reorient the posture of our hearts. We surrender to you this morning and we trust you in your name.
As my life is in your hands, I trust it all, I trust it all to you.
Never know the extent of the result of our obedience, but just imagine what God can do with a few hundred people in this community, the spheres of influence we have, the people in our lives, if we just go, yep, I'm in, I'll follow you. I hear you calling me, Jesus, follow me. My response is yes. I give up control, it's all yours. Imagine what can happen in this community, in the lives of the people around us, in our own lives, when we just totally give up control and go, all right, God, I'll go where you send me, do what you tell me. And these next 2 years are going to be a really powerful and exciting season for our church, and I'm really excited for it. And it may, there might be like sort of this pain up front as we sort of have to address the, like, yeah, I have been clinging to this stuff, or yeah, my money means a lot to me, and I've got to separate from that. And there might be like a little bit of pain up front, but man, it is going to be an exciting, awesome season to hear the story after story after story after story that comes from us just going, all right, okay, God, you got it. You got control. I'll follow you. It's going to be awesome. So thanks for being here this morning. As you go, if you weren't here last week or you didn't get one of the booklets, we printed up these cool booklets that have kind of the whole vision of the Beyond Initiative and what this whole thing means, all the details and descriptions in there. So pick up one of those booklets at the door on the way out, and then enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.